The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. Today is July 8th, 2022. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And let's see, you know, today's Friday, and what I'd like to do on Friday sometimes is just do hate mail. And someone was asking about love mail. I think I'm going to read a couple of those too. We call it hate and love mail. And how people like to hear a little bit of both sides of things. So what I'm going to do is do that and just get into a couple. Then we've got some callers coming in, so if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, let's see. Oh, there we go. Your article, What Should Christians Do If Their Child Gets Involved in Wicca? Insults me completely. You mentioned nothing of my religion. I can't even read it. I can't read what the person says. But it's a funny insult. If you want to accuse any religion of demonic possession, it'd be mine. Yeah, and then he goes again. Oh, I think I read this one last week. I'm a Satanist, and you're accusing Wiccans of being devil worshippers. Now, get this. A Satanist is insulting me and talking about Wiccans. He says, Wiccans are glorified hippies. We Satanists are the ones that your article should be targeted at. Your encounters with Wicca flatten your tires. Flattening what? Your encounters with Wicca flattening your tires and financial issues? No one flattened my tires. Where's this guy getting this? And financial issues are completely due to the fact that you are a judge. You're judging religions. Wow. Mr. Satanist is telling me about that. Man, that guy doesn't have all his paws in a litter box. Hey, let's see. Oh, we got some more. We got some callers coming in. You know what I'm going to do is take a caller and see how things go, and we'll talk. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Gary from Ohio. Hey, Gary, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt.
Hey.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, hey. You know, There was a pastor of mine that I listened to. It was Charles Stanley.
Uh-huh.
He went, it was a real short little thing about some that don't lose their salvation. They might, they won't lose their salvation, but they might lose rewards in heaven.
Yep.
Help me understand that. Rewards.
Sure.
Some don't get the rewards.
So we are justified by faith in Christ, and we cannot be lost. And God has given us certain things to do as Christians. We're not saved to be trophies put on a shelf, but we're saved to be workers for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be douloi, bond servants of Him. And everybody is gifted with certain abilities. Mine apparently is being annoying, my wife says, so I'm going to use that for the glory of God. And there are people who are gifted in varying ways, and what they do with their spiritual gifts, what they do, is nothing. Or, with timidity, they might use a gift or two, okay? But you get some noise in the background there, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so, God wants us to use what He's gifted us with. And if we don't use them, we're not going to get those rewards that we could get. And then there are Christians who are called to do certain things by the Lord, and they don't. They don't obey Christ. There'll be a loss of reward in heaven for what it is that they are supposed to have done. It doesn't mean their salvation's lost. So they can suffer.
Yeah, sure.
They can have an increase or a loss of reward in heaven because of it. Yep.
Nice. Wow. Yeah, we have no idea knowing what rewards we would get. I mean, everybody likes to. I mean, I would assume you would like to know what you would get too, but
yeah, well, actually, to be honest, I thought about it over the years. I can't say I don't want any, but they don't really matter to me, because
I got you.
What I want is just to be with my Lord. That's enough. And
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah, if there's a reward, because I don't know if I'm gonna get any, because I've never done anything with any pure motive, and so I don't know, and I just want to be with Him, and that's good enough. That's reward enough, and if anything else is beyond
that, true.
Anything's beyond that is by His grace. So that's it.
We can all those that have the salvation, hopefully it's everybody listening. We can all be thankful for that every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's right. Life without that? I mean, it's
useless.
That's eternity with Him. So,
right.
Well, I appreciate that, yeah. Matt.
So Charles Stanley was right. We can have a loss of rewards. Yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Christians need to pay attention to that, because
it kind of makes me, I don't want to say I worry about it, because there's no point of doing that, but I definitely don't want to. I mean, I'd be lying to you, and I don't like to lie. I don't want to lie if I wouldn't want to get as much reward as I could get without, I don't want to come across as just gimme, gimme, gimme.
Right.
But Lord's offering rewards. So.
Yeah, they are things that we will be blessed by. And when we serve our Lord with as much faithfulness as we can through thick and thin,
mm-hmm.
and He's going to, by His grace, reward us. I don't see how I could get any reward for anything. And I'm not trying to be modest or humble. The standard is perfection, and I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. So, if God says, hey, well done, here's a reward. Wow, okay. All right. If you say so, give it back to Him. This is it's from you. That's it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. That's right.
When we're saved, I heard this from one of my favorite pastors, is that once we're saved, God opens up an account for us. So we, as this pastor Lon Solomon put it, we transfer as much from our heavenly account earthly accounts to our heavenly account, instead of storing up treasures.
Yeah, I don't know of anything in Scripture that says God begins keeping an account, I understand what He's saying.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. Okay.
There's an account before and after our salvation. Now, our sins are wiped away. But God has gifted us, and we have responsibilities even without being a Christian. And there's a covenant aspect of that in the Adamic covenant, and all people of mankind are required to obey the Adamic covenant, because He's our ancient Father. We were in Him. That's doctrine, federal headship teaching out of covenant. But I get what He's saying, but I would never say that, because I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see now. There's an account that starts.
I see, I see what you're saying. You're right.
Yeah.
That's
what's
true,
that? So many people with these good intentions. They have good intentions, and then they say something that's just not in the Bible. Why do they do that from the pulpit? Don't do that. Gets me.
Yeah, don't do that. You're right. Real quick, the last thing. There is that. What's that verse where the Jesus? I'm trying to describe this the best way I know. I'm going to look it up and keep better track of it. But where Jesus has where He comes back in the third one that didn't do much with what was given.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm botching it here, but.
Yeah, no, I got you.
He gets thrown in the where teeth are gnashing.
Matthew. Yes. I think that's Matthew 18. This reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts. I think this is it, with his slaves. One owed 10,000, another brought to him. No, that's not it. But it has to do with the talents.
Talents, yes.
Yeah,
so the ones where, he turns, some turn in, and you reap.
Yeah, here, I found it.
More.
Yeah, now I found it. Yeah, Matthew 25. For it is like a man about to go on a journey called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To the one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received five talents went and traded with them and gained five more. In the same manner, the one who had received two talents gained two more. But he who received one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground in his master's and various master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received five talents came and brought five more, and the master said, "Well done." One with two, same thing, "Well done." And he said to the one who had received one talent, "Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathered where you gathered." So the one with one talent is accusing the landmaster of unrighteousness. You got noise going in the background, guy. So
sorry, bro.
Yeah, sorry, it's
I'm just trying to write something down. But go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So he says he was afraid, and so the master condemned him. And so, yeah, and the idea here is different interpretations of it that have been offered, but the idea is that we are to use our talents. Now, the word talent is a measure of money back then, but it coincides with the word talent that we have now in English. We have certain talents and abilities that God has given us. We're to use them for His glory, to produce, not to do nothing with it, to put it in the ground and bury it and not have it do anything. That's bad. And Christians are to take this very seriously. They're to use what they have and their gifting that they have for the glory of God. Even if they don't
yeah,
do it well, it
doesn't matter. Not spin on the self either, right?
Right. The idea here is that it's for the master, because the master, in a sense, here represents God. And the idea is that we use what we have to increase from what God has given us. So, dare I say that I use my teaching ability to teach as many people as I can about the Lord and do radio and write and stuff like that. So that's the idea of give me five, I'm giving five back. But what if someone has a gift of teaching?
Amen to that, bro.
What if they have the gift of teaching and decides not to do anything because lazy? And this is a gift from God. Well, then you don't have that reward coming, and there might be a little bit of a penalty. Doesn't mean you're not saved, but you see,
true, might be a penalty. Yeah. What chapter was that, boss?
Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. Okay,
Matthew 25, verse 14. Well, hey, thanks, Matt. I appreciate it, bud. God bless you. Appreciate it.
God
again.
Bless you. All right, Gary.
Have a good evening.
You too.
All right, man.
God
see you. Bye.
All right, five open lines, wide open if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. All right, let's get back to the hate mail because, it's good. Now, for those of you who are new to the show, what is this hate mail stuff? Well, I'm a Christian apologist. I defend the Christian faith, teach theology, debate. I just had a debate two or three nights ago. And with one this Pentecostal person, I debate Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, atheists, Muslims, formal debates, written books, and do radio, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the website had 150 million visitors, and it's been online for over 26 years. So I get hate mail, and I love hate mail. And there's the break. So maybe we'll get back to it after the break. We'll see. Hey, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, three open lines now, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's just get on with the callers. How about Danny from Germany? Hey, Danny, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Hi. Pleasure talking to you again.
Hey, nice talking to you. Nice talking to you. So what do you got?
Yeah, I heard that summertime is slow with the Matt Slick show, so I thought I'd give you a call and give you some support from the land of your forefathers.
So yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. My ancestors came from Germany. That's right. And Slick, people don't know, Slick comes from the German Schlichting. Yeah, it was contracted down to Schlichting, became Slick. That's how I got my weird last name. So, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I've never been to Germany. I got to go. I'm going to check it out. So.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. You would be welcome here.
Oh, I'd love to. Okay, so what do you got, man?
Yeah. So my question is, a brother said during his sermon that he's of the conviction that Jesus never missed a nail being a carpenter, and that all things that he built must have been perfect. To conclude that this is the case, was the man Jesus in the hypostatic union perfect, or did he also learn by mistakes?
Now that is a good question, and we don't have a good answer. And the reason is because we know he was made lower than the angels, Hebrews 2:9, under the law, Galatians 4:4, and that he had emptied himself, Philippians 2:5 through 8. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's worth a discussion, but we can't really say exactly what it means, but there's something that happened in the incarnation. And then it says he remained in subjection to his mother and father after the instance when he says when it says in Luke 2:52 that he grew in wisdom and stature. So if he was under the law, he was growing in wisdom and stature, he was lower than the angels, he had emptied himself, then the question then becomes up, could he miss a nail when he was hammering it, because he was a man, but he's also God. Now we have the doctrine called the communicatio idiomatum, where the properties of both natures are ascribed to the single person. That would mean the person of Christ had the attributes of divinity as and humanity and omniscience, as well as being able to go to sleep. Well, these attributes are attributed to him by logical necessity. We'll get into some more of that. So he would know where every nail was. Now, on the other hand, does his right arm or left arm, as he's swinging it, always work perfectly? Well, that's a question, because I'll tell you, when I aim a nail, it's like everybody clears a room. It might go flying off some direction, and who knows? But so with him, I just don't know. I just can't say yes, and I can't say no. It's a fun question to talk about. But I could just see, Joseph, he was a carpenter, just say, man, you everything you make is perfect. I could just see, you're good. Maybe his work was so good that that's how he got a reputation around the area. Man, this guy, he does perfect work, Who knows? Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe he missed a nail because his arm is just, it's a flesh. And, maybe something wasn't exactly right one day with the wind. I don't know. You got me, so can't answer it.
Yeah, I never thought about that, too. And, there was some controversy, and one sister told me she disagreed with that, and I was not sure, and so I thought I'd give you a call and ask you about your opinion.
Well, see, God can't make a mistake, so missing a nail would be a mistake, right? But a human can make a mistake. So how do those two qualities combine? And, well, we could say Jesus could never sin. And the reason is, even though the human nature can be tempted, his divine nature is not capable of sin. So I would say he was not capable of sinning. He's capable of being tempted, but not of sinning. So how would that work with, missing a nail? Could he miss a nail? I think potentially he could have, but not actually. There are senses in which potentiality and actuality can be understood. And these kinds of questions, there are a few of us who like to talk about things like this and talk about the third sense in which this could be understood. And then we just say, well, we don't know for sure in the long run. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thank you, Matt. And God bless you and the ministry you're doing.
God bless you, man. Auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah, hope he does it. See you.
All right, man. God bless. Thanks for calling all the way from Germany. That's awesome. All right. Well, from Germany.
Right.
See you, Danny. All right. From Germany, let's go to Canada. And let's talk to... No, it's not Canada. It's Alberto from Georgia. Excuse me, I was reading something wrong. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. My question is, you know, in the Lord's Prayer said, deliver us from temptation, you know, right? Mm-hmm. And then how come in James chapter 1, verse 2 says, we rejoice, brother, that you fall into diverse temptations. Isn't that kind of contradictory term?
No, it's the request.
Lord's Prayer.
It's the request of God to deliver us, but rejoice when he doesn't. We might ask God, as Jesus did, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Luke 22:42. So you can request something of God, and he doesn't grant it to you. So you can request, Lord, please deliver us from evil. But we know that evil occurs to us and around us. So it's a request of God to deliver us and help us, but yet it's also the will of God and his permissive will to allow bad things to happen to us. So in those realities, we are to rejoice and know that God's in control. He allows it for a reason and stuff like that. Make sense?
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. That help?
Yeah, help. That helped me clear it up more better. Yeah, that helped it a lot more. Much better. Yeah, kind of. That to me, it's kind of. I thought it was a contradictory term. Like, God deliver us. Then the other part, well, we want the rejoicing to all fall into it. So now I understand what it meant.
Yeah.
All right.
Because there can
Thank
be
you.
Different senses of how things could be understood, and that's all that the issue is. All right. Okay, buddy.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay. Hey, we have four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Janet from Raleigh, North Carolina. Janet, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks, Matt. Happy Friday.
Oh, happy Friday. Thanks.
I just have a question. I was just thinking about it lately, but I'm talking about the roles that women play, and the Bible has a lot of, you know, regulations in terms of what women should and should not do. But how does that transfer into society or into the regular world? For example, if you have a woman who's a Christian and she's married, but she has a job as a supervisor and she has to lead men and that kind of stuff, and she makes more money than her husband, is that out of order or
no.
Is that okay?
That's fine. Yeah, no problem. I wish my wife made more money than me. I'd love it. Oh, man. I'd say, yeah, that's it. Man, I'm spending it. You know, thanks, woman. And so that's not a problem. In fact, if you go to Proverbs 31, you'll see that there's a description of a really good woman. And she is a businesswoman. And she's quite good at it. Now, hold on. I've got a break there. Okay, we'll get back and talk about this some more because this is good stuff. Hey, folks, four open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Okay, welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's get back on here with Janet. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. So, the only restrictions I see in Scripture for women is that they're not in the church. They're not to exercise authority or teach over men. Not to be in that position of authority in a spiritual sense. That's it. They want to be president? Be president. Like Candace Owens. I wish. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish she could become president. She's awesome. Seriously. Huh. And, you know, no problem. There are women who run business. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are women who run businesses, and they're very good at it. No problem. No problem at all. In the church, that's different.
So it's okay for a woman to have leadership over a man if it's not in church?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That seems like a kind of a contradiction or something.
No, it's what you find is it says in 1 Timothy 2:12-13, he says, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but remain silent, for Adam was first created. So Paul is talking about the Adamic order. He then goes on in chapter 3, the very next chapter, and he says he's giving instruction on how to behave in the household of God. He's specifically giving instructions for the church. And we know from Proverbs 31 that an excellent wife who can find her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. So she's in charge of people. She considers a field and buys it. That's pretty serious stuff. And her earnings, plants a vineyard. She's a businesswoman. No problem. This is a good woman. This is what an excellent wife is, as Proverbs says. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. You know, that's awesome. She girds herself with strength, makes her arm strong, and senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. She makes linen garments, and it goes on and on. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And that's something a lot of women got to work on, as well as men, the teaching of kindness on their tongue. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." The gates were the places where the officials of the city would go and sit and talk and do business. And it was like a courthouse kind of a thing. And she was to be known even there. So men would praise her. That means they knew that she was a good businesswoman, took care of her home and house and everything else. That means in order to do that, you got to be in control of some stuff. No problem at all. So, but she can't be a pastor.
There's no real boundaries, for women.
No.
Outside of the church. Okay.
No. You know, in fact, when I was in seminary, and I went to Westminster Theological Seminary, graduated in 1991, and it was very, very, very conservative. Now, I've heard it's slide a little bit, but very, very conservative. And we had a week-long period where the classes were opened up to everybody. You know, anybody outside could just come into the classes. And they brought in a special woman, she was awesome, to teach on how women could be used in the church. And I thought, this is a great opportunity to learn. And I went to this class, and I was the only male in the class. It was packed full of women from all over. Now, that was shameful, if you ask me. The men should have been in that church, in there. What can a woman do in a church? What, you know, this woman, and I sat and listened to her. She was full of wisdom. She was awesome. She was like a Proverbs 31 woman. And so sometimes men have this attitude, some men, "Oh, I'm sorry, you can't do anything. Stay home, be pregnant, you're barefoot, where's my sandwich, woman?" And that's the wrong attitude.
Yeah.
And so I'm serious. If my wife says, you know, if she ever were to start a business and it started growing, I'd be like, "Hey, great, go for it." You know, no problem. And if she started making double, triple, quadruple what I make, I'd be like, "Yes, go for it."
And if she started being in control of men too, you'd be okay with that too?
Yeah,
like she was the leader over, supervisor over men?
Yeah, if she had male employees under her, I don't have any problem.
Right.
But we go to church, she's not going to be a preacher or teacher. And that's it, it's a spiritual issue. So no problem at all.
Okay.
Yeah, well, she tells me what to do anyway. You don't mean she's already married. So, you know how that goes.
So, yeah. Well, that's good to know. I'm glad I can run for president. I might think about doing that.
Please do. Please do. We need a good woman president. Because I'll tell you, that male president we got, he's a complete sham.
Oh goodness.
But I'm dead serious. I want Candace Owens to run. I do.
Wow.
I think she is awesome. Oh, yeah.
And you would actually vote for a woman if it was her.
Absolutely.
You would vote for her.
I would help her.
Okay.
I'm not just saying this now. I've said this to my wife. If she were listening and called up, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Candace Owen comes on. He goes, there she is. All right, I'm listening. You know, I even asked my wife once, you think it'd be okay for me to date her? And, you know, my wife's sitting right there.
Oh.
And he goes, she said, well, you got to ask her husband first. She goes, dang, that might be a problem, you know, because, you know, I joke around a lot. And the point is, she's wonderful. I think she's great. So,
Yeah,
she should be president.
We'll see what happens.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I think I'd love to see her try to be president and become president. I'm not kidding. Dead serious. I would love it.
Wow.
She would do a lot of good for this country.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Matt, thanks so much for the encouragement, because I was just thinking, I was like, when if women are able to do stuff outside of the church, you know?
That's
encouraging to me. I like that. I like that a lot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go have fun. Go do stuff. Ooh. Just do it for the glory of God, and don't be oppressive, you know, and stuff. You know, just do it for the glory of God. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good, man. I'll think about that.
All right. Sounds good.
Yep. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
You too. Well, God bless.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye. And yes, I really do want Candace to run. I do. I've said it so many times. So she said some things over the air. I'm like, man, she needs to be president. And the only other person I've really exclaimed that about was Alan Keyes. When I heard him years ago, I was like, oh, man, that guy's awesome. Okay, let's get to Ryan from Utah. Ryan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Candace Owens' sentiment.
You had the same sentiment about her? You do?
Absolutely. Gosh, that would be wonderful. Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, she's impressive.
Yeah, so I just wanted to weigh in real quick and agree or just share my opinion about the gentleman from Germany with the Jesus being perfect in every way. I think when the scripture says that he grew in wisdom and stature, I think that is evidence that in terms of everything that would be of sinful nature, that he was absolutely perfect. But I imagine as a child, the word genius wouldn't even do him justice. I would imagine his first, you know, stool he made maybe wasn't as refined as his second or third. But as he grew in stature and learned to control his physical body, that he became quite amazingly wonderful at everything he did. Mm-hmm. And just wanted to toss that in there for an opinion. That's all.
Well, you know, actually, that brings up a good point, because he didn't come out of the womb walking and talking. He had to grow.
Right.
So I would assume that he would have stumbled as he's getting his body working, you know. And we don't know how all that works.
Yep.
It's just, you know, we just can't talk about it. We don't know. But I think there's a place, you know, for him and his humanity to grow in wisdom, to grow in understanding, to grow. We don't want to go Nestorian. That means that in the body of Christ are two different persons, and one did it one time, and one person did it something another time. We don't want to say that. That's heresy. But it's an issue, and it's a confusing one sometimes. Not that it's contradictory. It's just, how does that work? And the Bible just doesn't tell us. And that's okay. It doesn't tell us.
Well, I think that's what's wonderful about the Bible. It allows us to ponder those things. And last thing, just I appreciate the good, uplifting commentary that this show provides. It gives me many hours of good thoughts, and I appreciate what you guys do. So take care.
Well, praise God, man. Praise God. All right. Well, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. All right, that's Ryan from Utah. We have five open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages. Someone in the chat room said Owens and Slick for the 2024 run. Hey, it'd be fun. All right, hey, we'll be right back, folks. After these messages, please stay tuned. Oh, wait, give me a call. Okay, we'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We've got a line ringing, and we'll be on there in a second. I just want to let you guys know that we stay on the air by your generous support. And what we ask is, if you don't mind, would you consider supporting us at $5 a month? It's not very much. And all you have to do is go to carm.org, carm.org. On the right-hand side, no, that's the old style. carm.org/donate. carm.org/donate. And you'll be able to, just find all the information you need right there. Set up a $5 a month monthly donation. It's a couple of cups of coffee. And it really does help us. We're trying to get a lot of people in to help us and hopefully to be able to meet our bills. Let me tell you something. As a matter of fact, we had our Friday meeting, and Moses, he's one of our guys in Africa, and he's in Nigeria. We've known him for quite a while. He's a great guy. He's a pastor. He goes around evangelizing and teaching, and he's been informing us on a weekly basis of what's happening in Nigeria. One of the things we want to do is raise the funds to be able to support him a little bit more than what we do. But he's okay. It's just they're trying to get paper to print tracts up to distribute. And the reason is because there's an increasing number of persecutions of Christians there. There was a clergyman who was just abducted and killed. Two churches in some small villages were attacked. Two Christians were killed, and 44 Christians were abducted by Muslims. A prison was attacked, and he said over 600 Muslim terrorists were freed. I went and did some checking on that, and it turned out 440 prisoners, and they showed the wall. So different information, but he said, it's happening. Don't know what the actual numbers are, but yeah, Muslim terrorists were freed, and so these are the ones that had been there. The Muslims come in and they destroy people's lives. They kill them. They kidnap them. They burn churches and things like that. And the Christians there are being taught that you're not supposed to defend yourself at all. Just lay down and take it. And that's not the case, folks. I'm telling you. I wrote a nice article on it. That article is being printed up and distributed there. Well, it's being distributed out in the outskirts where the Muslims are attacking villages. But in the main cities, the big churches don't want to support the idea of getting tracts. The big churches are about developing their own congregations and their and growing. And I've known about this kind of stuff. It's not a good thing. The big churches there are fleecing the flock, where the pastors will drive around in Mercedes, and people are starving all over the place. This is happening a lot. The positive confession and New Age positive confession movement is moving in a lot, which, name it and claim it, God wants you healthy and wealthy. And so Moses has gone to these churches and asked for help and support, and they're not interested. They don't want to do that and support the idea of people out there in the boonies, because if they do, then they might get attacked. That's what their worry is. So people are being killed, and he's passing out tracts, and he needs the funds for tracts. So we're trying to raise the funds for tracts, $5 a month. Part of that would go to something like that. That's why we're saying is we do need a little bit of help, and plus to keep us on the air and to pay our support for a guy in Colombia, another guy in Turkey, another guy in Brazil. We are working hard in missionaries, trying to get them to do what they can in their respective countries. And so that's why I say, hey, can you help us out with $5 a month? And we're just trying to get a lot of people doing that, and we could have our bills met and stuff like that. That's it. carm.org/donate is all you got to do. Let's get to somebody anonymous from Salt Lake City. Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I love the show, Matt. What I'm calling about is I have a granddaughter. Well, I have seven grandchildren. I have a granddaughter that is a lesbian, and I love her with all my heart, and I love her wife. She calls her wife with all my heart. But they, What I don't love is that they hate America. They are such horrendous liberals. And so, like, on the 4th of July, I posted to everyone that I love something in regards to how grateful I am that I was born in America. What a wonderful country we were blessed to be born here. And, you know, got a lot of positive feedback, but my granddaughter just posted me back the most hateful skeletons and guns and swear words beginning with the F, letter F, you know, F America. Mm-hmm. And it just made me cry my eyes out. Mm. But anyway, I only responded in nothing negative. I'm never negative back to her, but I just posted back to her, well, if you can overlook that, would you like to go to lunch, you know, and invited her to take her and her partner to, you know, have a lunch on the 4th of July. And of course, she never called me back or anything. And she has accused me of hating her because she's a lesbian. And there's not an ounce of truth in that. I pray for her every day. Well, anyway, I hate that she's an atheist and that she hates God. And, of course, she's not an atheist because she talks about how bad she hates God. Therefore, yes, you believe in God, right?
Right.
And so I even said to her that I would help her financially to move to Canada or to Australia. And, you know, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but I don't want anybody to live in America that doesn't love America.
Yeah.
And so what my question is, I'm doing it my will, and long story short, I own quite a bit of property, and she just assumes that she is entitled to my property, and why would I want to give her any land in America, you know, acreages of land, and she talks the way she does? So what I'm asking is that okay for me to do that?
The land is yours to do with as you desire, whatever you want to do. You want to give it to her or not give it to her, you're right either way. You're not obligated to give it to her. You're not obligated to it's up to you.
It's not her. I don't want anybody to live in America that doesn't love America. So,
right.
Okay, thank you, Matt.
Well,
that's,
here's the
thing. That's perfect.
So you can do what you want, and that's just it. It's yours. If you own the land, it's yours to do what you want. If you want to just sell the land to somebody and take the money to a lake and burn it and have a barbecue next to a lake while you're fishing, that's your business. Whatever you want.
No.
But
believe that.
So you need to consider things. If you give her the land or she inherits it, will she sell it and use it for liberal things? You know, you don't know. You want to show love to her, but if she's going to hate America, well, then why would she want to benefit from what America's provided if she hates it? So there's a lot of inconsistencies there. And of course, you're to pray for her and stuff like that. And, you know, as Romans 1 talks about, that such people are given over to the depravity of their hearts and their minds. And so, in verse 28, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, their gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant. She has the judgment of God on her. The judgment of God. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. I do believe everything that you just said, and I just need confirmation that, okay, as to that, because I already believed everything that you said. Those would have been words right out of my mouth. So, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, I grieve with you. I have a daughter who, let's just say, is, let's just say your daughter and one of my daughters would get along. And it's unfortunate, but it's a reality. It's what happens. And the world is deceptive. and they make their decisions, and they want to serve their own flesh, their own lusts.
Yeah.
And then they hate the light. That's what she's hating. It's not, I would say, yeah, it's beyond hating America. It's hating the things of God and the Christian principles that were woven into this country, which are still in our Constitution and our governmental system and society to a large degree, even though society is turning against those principles and is spitting in the face of God. So,
amen.
Yeah. That's bad
Thank
news.
Thank you again.
All right.
Thank you again. God bless.
Well, God bless. I hope you have a good weekend. Okay. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. You know, there's one thing that I remember when I was younger. My mom and dad were still alive. They had a house. They had, you know, stocks. They had stuff. And I became a Christian. And I remember thinking about the issue. You know, it's always nice to have more of this or more of that. You know, a bigger car, nicer house, money in the bank. And when I became a Christian, and I realized by studying the Word that what belonged to my parents was theirs, and they had the right to do whatever they wanted with it. And my dad and I had a conversation about that, and he said how he wants to leave stuff for his three sons. And I said, well, we appreciate that, Dad. And I said, but look, you don't owe us anything, and don't think we're after it. I don't care. If you want to, like I actually said this to him, if you want to take all your assets, liquidate them, and burn them, hey, I'll go help you. You know, I don't care. And the point was, it's his. I wasn't to covet what was his. And I've heard so many stories over the years where the siblings will just circle in like vultures on mom and dad's or uncle's, whatever, properties and assets, and they fight amongst themselves of how they can fleece the dead. And that to me is abhorrent. When my father did die, and one of my brothers had been taking care of him, and our dad left some money, the instructions were to distribute it evenly between the three sons, which my brother did. But I told him, I said, don't bother, keep it. You're the one who took care of him the past few years. And he said, no, that's what Dad wanted. And my other brother was like that too. We don't care. And that was the right attitude. We weren't to fleece the dead or fleece the living. We want this, we want that. People who do that are covetous and malcontents, full of greed. I don't want any part of that. But what belongs to you, belongs to you. You have the right to do with it as you desire. If it belongs to somebody else, don't covet it. Otherwise, you will fall into greater sin. Hey, the music's going to start any second now. May the Lord bless you. I hope that by His grace, you have a great weekend. Please do consider supporting us. Carm.org/donate. $5 a month is what we ask. And I hope you have a great weekend, folks. By His grace, we're back on the air on Monday, and we'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.